Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to today's segment of Afternoon Satsang. Today we have something very, very new and very interesting to present to all of you, and we shall be starting a new series. Those of you who have seen our webpage will already know about this, but for those who haven't, here's a very brief introduction. These are times, these are lockdown times when all of us are shut in our homes, unable to go to our samitis, to our centers, to Prashanthi Nilayam, to Vrindavan, to wherever, you know, wherever we used to go to feel our connect with Bhagwan. We are unable to do that now, and therefore we are making attempts to bring Bhagwan to our own homes in whatever way possible, mostly virtually. But then, this is not something new. Way back in 1958, to be precise, Bhagwan decided that it was time for Bhagwan to go to different homes, and he did it in a very unique and singular fashion. And it is about that monumental effort that Bhagwan put in that we shall be dedicating this series to, because this series is called the Sanatana Sarathi. It was in the February of 1958 that Bhagwan launched this monthly magazine called the Sanatana Sarathi, which means the Eternal Charioteer. It was possibly one of the first ways in which Swami began to go into each and every home, whoever wanted to welcome him, you know, because it was like that. It started off with a subscription base of a few hundreds, became 3,000 and grew into thousands. So all those who wanted, there was a way in which Swami would reach into every home. And this Sanatana Sarathi is no ordinary effort from Bhagwan. It is, like all of Bhagwan's effort, it is an effort that will keep finding fruition till eternity. And we felt that it would be a nice theme, nice serial to take up on the Sanatana Sarathi. We will give you a little more detail on what we shall be going into, what is all this about. But before all that, we want to place our grateful pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan for this wonderful opportunity, for this beautiful idea. And let us all welcome Brother Prem to join us. Sai Ram Prem.
Sai Ram Arvind, and Sai Ram to all our listeners. And as you rightly said, in many ways we are very grateful for this opportunity of the afternoon satsang and meeting all our listeners every week. Because in the course of this partnership that we've had, I think coming May, we would be, I think coming August, we would be completing close to 6 years, 8 years, I'm sorry,
eight years
of doing this afternoon satsang. And in the course of this afternoon satsang, Swami has given us the opportunity to go through so many beautiful topics, so many beautiful texts. One we are going through is the conversations with Bhagwan. That opportunity is so brilliant. We've read that in our student days. Likely, Swami Satyam Shyam Sundaram, Swami's Vahinis. We have read many of those even in the past. But when we are doing it for the sake of this afternoon satsang, the detail with which we are able to go through that and the joy that we get by reading and talking about it and sharing with all our listeners is, I think, unparalleled if we were to do it ourselves. And today, Swami is giving us another opportunity, and very, very excited to do that. We've been wanting to do this for a very long time, and that is to go through Swami's Sanatana Sarathi. And the name itself has a ring to it, isn't it? It's so precious. Starting right from the name, from the editor, as you're going to go through the machines that we used to print, everything has a stamp on Swami on it. And as you rightly said, in these times when we are all looking for how can we bring Swami more into our lives now that we are all locked into our homes, I think it's quite understandable. 1950s, 1940s, it was not easy to come to see Swami. It was, even after you come, there were occasions when people would say that they never knew whether Swami is in town or Swami is traveling. And if Swami is traveling, you don't know how many weeks and how many months he's away. So a lot of uncertainties of having a precious darshan of Swami. Of course, if Swami is there, it's a heavenly situation that cannot be described in words. But a lot of uncertainties. So here was Swami saying that I am going to come to each one of your homes. And I think it's quite, it's a beautiful coincidence that we are doing it at a time when we are all trying to invite Swami into our homes in whatever way possible.
You know, when we think of the Sanatana Sarathi, possibly for those who are new to Swami or the organization, the Sanatana Sarathi just sounds like two Sanskrit words. And for those who have been part of Swami's organization, even for them, Sanatana Sarathi means you remember Swami and you remember the magazine. A magazine which possibly gives you a comprehensive view of Swami's discourses and possibly a brief into the activities happening in Sai organizations around the world. But, you know, just to understand the magnificence of the Sanatana Sarathi, let's go to the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum. You know, when we enter the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum, which is in Prashanthi Nilayam, now it has changed a bit, but before you would often be shown a video. You would be taken into a theater and the museum journey would begin with a video. A video which shows how creation came about. And that story of creation was taken from the Rig Vedic hymn called the Nasadiya Suktam, which begins by saying, Nasadasit, Nosadasit, meaning that the story begins at a time when there was no existence and when there was no non-existence as well. It's a beautiful hymn that goes on to say that, you know, when we are asked how did the universe come about, we say through the Big Bang. And how did the Big Bang come about? We try to explain or we just say God only knows how it happened. The Nasadiya Suktam actually says God only knows how it happened, or maybe even God doesn't know how it happened. It's a very liberal, magnificent kind of Suktam. Why I'm referring to that is, very similar to this, Swami wrote a passage which has become immortalized. In fact, this passage is even shown during that video in the Chaitanya Jyoti. For long, I did not know from where this passage has been sourced. And, you know, like they say, a person keeps searching for his spectacles and realizes that they are on his own forehead or on his nose. It was like that, discovered that this passage is from the Satyam Shivam Sundaram. It has been documented there in a letter to Sri R.R. Chatterjee, who was the treasurer of the Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai organization in Calcutta, which started in August 1967. It was a precursor to the Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations. It was called the Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai organization. He was made the treasurer. That is in 1967. And later in 1971, he became the chairman of that same organization.
Okay.
And Swami used to write letters frequently to him. So the letter that I am referring to is much before the 1950s. In the 1950s. Though he became the treasurer in 1967, in the 1950s, in the letter that Swami wrote to him, this statement is there, where Swami says, "There was no one to know who I am till I created the world at my pleasure with one word. Immediately earth and sky were formed, mountains rose up, rivers started flowing, the sun, the moon, the stars sprang out of nowhere to prove my existence. Came all forms of life, plants, insects, beasts, birds and men. Various powers were bestowed upon them under my orders. The first place was granted to man, and my knowledge was placed in man's mind." You know, this beautiful text, legendary text, which we come across as devotees often, was written first in that letter to him. And when you read that last statement, which says that my knowledge was placed in man's mind, I just feel that possibly the Sanatana Sarathi was one such powerful vehicle which Bhagwan used to place divine knowledge in man's mind.
Very true. And even as you are talking about that letter, in other ways you can look at the Sanatana Sarathi as a letter that Swami was writing to every devotee, right? And because every Sanatana Sarathi carried article not dictated by Swami, not compiled from Swami's discourses, or not rehashed content, as we often say. It is Swami specifically sitting and writing for an issue. So it is almost like Swami sending, and we've had the opportunity to go through some of these letters that Swami would write to devotees. Even in those letters, Swami would write, you know, we had a Dashara celebration, we had so many devotees participating. Or Swami would say, I went to Godavari, East Godavari, there was a program like this. The Sanatan Sarthi is pretty much a magazine like that. It had Swami writing something and it also had what was all happening around it. And rightly said, you know, it not only connected Swami to the devotees, but also it revealed what the divine aspect of Swami is. Because in all these writings, as you said, if Swami had not revealed it himself as the very beginning of time, the knowledge of knowing him was gifted in a small way to one species of the many. And even as Swami writes it here, you know, when we talk about Swami's institutions, when we talk about, say, Swami's hospital, we know how miraculously it comes up in less than a year. When we speak of it, we say that, you know, there was a sankalpa and it happened. But of course, somebody dug up and somebody put foundation and somebody mixed cement, and those are the intricacies. So in one sentence when Swami says here, you know, I willed it and the mountains rose and the rivers flowed and there were plants and animals, these all happened over billions of years. But it all started with that one word. And that Lord putting in words his message for us. And there is no amount of overstatement that can be made as to how precious the Sanatan Sarthi is.
And you know, if we look at it, though it appears like one fine day Swami decided that I want to have a magazine in place, because we will come to that interesting story as well as to how the magazine took birth. It was not like that, because it is very evident it was part of a master plan. You know, many times it has been said that Swami's life was divided into stages. At least the first three stages, we know it very clearly because it has been documented and it has been revealed by Bhagwan. And I clearly remember, I think it was Dr. V.K. Gokak who was giving this in a talk, wherein he said that the first 16 years of Bhagwan's life will be leelas. Leelas meaning sport. And we see that. And he says that the next 16 years of Bhagwan's life is mahimas. Mahimas are grand miracles, when they say chamatkar,
glory of the Lord,
yes. Mm-hmm. Because when they say chamatkar leads to samskar, mm-hmm, which leads to paropkar, finally leading to sakshatkar, that chamatkar is what is described by these mahimas. So then the next 16 years will be the upadesh phase, it was said. So that is when Swami is physically 32 years old, should have been the beginning of the upadesh stage. And exactly 1926 plus 32 adds up to 1958. And 1958, suddenly, spontaneously, instantaneously, Swami decided and the Sanatan Sarthi was launched. At that point, it appeared like that. But when we see the large picture, it was perfectly in place, each brick falling as per the master plan. And the Sanatana Sarathi, the Sanatana Sarathi comprehensively launched the Upadesh phase of Bhagwan's avatarhood.
Right, and I think it will be befitting if we recollect that beautiful incident of Swami picking a name, picking an editor and informing the editor about his master plan, as you beautifully said. No, we would never say that Swami took an avatar, Swami lived in Prashanti Nilayam, and then sometime in the 60s he thought that, let me start an educational institution, and he started a university. Definitely we see that as part of the avatar's sankalpa itself. It is not something that was decided in the course of time. So in the same way, Sanatan Sarthi was also not a thought which came, I've not been doing anything, let's start something. It was never something like that. Mm-hmm. It was very much part of the avataric mission itself, that this is how I am going to reach out to mankind and transform them, and transform the devotees who are willfully making themselves available to me. And that eagerness is what starts off everything. And Professor Kasturi writes, it was the year of 1957, I think, right?
Exactly.
When Swami was visiting Bangalore, that was a time when Swami used to stay in a devotee's house, Mr. Vittal Rao. Is it,
it is the
father
same,
of yes. Jai Lakshmi Madam?
Yes.
We fondly refer to as Jai Ma Madam, who was later the warden and the principal of the Anantapur campus. So Swami used to stay in their house. And Professor Kasturi writes that he lived in a house then, which was just about 5 minutes away from where Vittal Rao's house was there.
Vittal Rao's house was in 9th Cross Wilson Garden in Bangalore.
Okay.
And Professor Kasturi's house in 12th Cross Wilson Garden.
Right. So it was just 5 minutes away, and he knew that Swami would stay in that house. And Professor Kasturi beautifully writes how he had found out how you can make out that Swami is coming. So there was a dry cleaner, probably a common dry cleaner, where Vittal Rao also used to put his linen, and Kasturi also used to visit the same shop. He figured out that whenever Swami would visit, a couple of days before that visit, the way Vittal Rao would prepare his houses, the bed sheets and the
curtains
would go to the dry cleaners. So he had sensed this pattern, and so he had told the dry cleaner that, you know, whenever you get a huge consignment like this of bed sheets and curtains from Vittal Rao's house, please inform me. So he was duly informed. So he knew that in the next few days, Swami might visit Vittal Rao's house. And knowing that, he found a small girl who happened to be his maid's daughter. And he gave her a little bit of goodies and made her stand right opposite Vittal Rao's house with the instruction that if you happen to see any large car coming into the house, and if you see a person in an orange robe, you come running and tell me. And that's precisely what happens. And on that day when Swami visits Vittal Rao's house, within a few minutes of Swami entering the house, Professor Kasturi is seen, you know, coming into the house, and Vittal Rao is shocked. He said, how did the news spread so fast? You didn't know about this, extensive planning.
The espionage network.
Right, that Professor Kasturi had done. And the moment he saw that, Vittal Rao says, sir, 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 wait, you know, Swami has just come in, and, you know, I should take his permission before letting anybody inside. But even before he could complete that statement, Swami was behind Vittal Rao coming in, and he said, hey, Kasturi, you've come. And the first thing Swami says is, I have a work for you in Puttaparthi.
And Swami says, you now start packing your belongings, come to Puttaparthi. It's evident that at that point in time, Professor Kasturi was staying in Bangalore, and at the same time, he was doing his best for Swami's work, Swami's mission. But Swami said, now you have to come to Puttaparthi because we are launching a magazine. And Swami said it with so much of excitement. And the beautiful thing is, Swami never says, I am launching a magazine. That is one thing, you know, it is so subtle yet so powerful and so important, such a lesson for all those who wish to be leaders and who consider themselves leaders. Swami always spoke as we. Swami was always inclusive in his language, in his actions, in his thoughts. And Swami said, we are going to launch a magazine. And Professor Kasturi said, okay. Swami said, guess what is the name? No, Professor Kasturi can't guess. But since Swami is asking him to tell, he volunteered and told a few names. He said, Swami, the Godward path. Swami said, no. Swami, Karma Dharma. Swami said, no. Swami, Prema Yoga. Because he's thinking of all the concepts or things that are dear to Bhagwan, and he's coming up with names related to them. Swami said, no, no, no. And then finally, unable to hold out any longer, like a little excited child, Swami said, it is Sanatana Sarathi. And that's it. It was revealed so casually and so excitedly that Professor Kasturi needed some time to reflect, and then it struck him the magnificence of the name, because Sanatana means eternal and Sarathi means charioteer. It reminded him of Krishna, who became the charioteer for Arjuna. And when we say Krishna is a charioteer for Arjuna, it's not just in the Kurukshetra but also in the Dharmakshetra, because, you know, again, speaking of the Gita, Swami says that it begins with Dharmakshetre, Kurukshetre. And Swami says that every man is born as a Dharmakshetra. Kshetra meaning a field of activity. He is born as a person who is supposed to engage in Dharma. But he gets lost because of his vasanas, because of his desires. He gets lost and he becomes a Kurukshetra. He becomes like a battlefield, a war zone. It's a constant battle going on between the forces of good and forces of evil. And it is Krishna who navigates Arjuna through the Kurukshetra for Dharma Sthapana, for the establishment of Dharma. And the name Sanatana Sarathi itself reflected that Swami was going to do this not just for one person, but for the whole humanity. Not just for one period in time. It's not just during the Krishna Avatar days or during the Satya Sai days, because it is the Sanatana Sarathi, the eternal charioteer. All this, of course, struck Professor Kasturi much later on, but this was how excitedly yet casually and in a very spontaneous, instantaneous manner, Swami revealed the name of the magazine.
And there couldn't have been a better name. Of course, we are not anyone to judge a name given by anybody, forget given by Swami himself. But what a beautiful name, Sanatana Sarathi. Not only is he a charioteer, you know, charioteer always, it gives you that idea that it's a reference to Lord Krishna, it's a reference to Bhagavad Gita, the song of the divine. But he says, I'm a Sanatana Sarathi. I am not a Sarathi only now. I've always been a charioteer for whoever who is willing to, you know, give the reins of their life to me. And he comes and there is a very beautiful explanation of, you know, Krishna sitting as a charioteer. You know, there is a reference to the Kathopanishad analogy, which is often given of the chariot. And in that chariot analogy, which is given, the horses are the senses, the chariot itself is the body, and the one who is traveling in the chariot is the, you know, the Jivatma. And in that, the charioteer is supposed to be the buddhi, the intellect. And Swami would say the intellect is both ways. You know, it is a regular intellect that you use in your everyday life. If you're eating food, whether the food is good enough for the body or not, that also is done by the same intellect. Or simple actions. If I want to achieve something, if I have an exam tomorrow, how should I spend my time the previous day? Even that is done by the regular intellect. And even the nitya anitya vicharana, which is said, what is eternal, what is ephemeral, that discrimination is also done by the same buddhi. So this buddhi actually needs a reference point, right? If you have to see what is good and bad, you need a reference point. How do you make out whether food is good or bad?
The smell. Your smell is your reference looks.
Point. Your taste is the reference point. So in the same way, for the buddhi to function in the spiritual field, it needs a reference. What is right? What can be done? What should not be done? What is dharma? What is adharma? So the idea of Krishna taking the seat of the charioteer is, it is said that the words of the guru should become your buddhi. The words of your guru should become the reference for all the decisions and choices that you make in your life. And when Swami said that I'm going to name my magazine Sanatan Sarathi, it was an offer that Swami was giving, that I am available. This divine chauffeur is available. Whoever wills can give me the reins of your life and I'm ready to chariot it.
You know, it reminds me of an experience of Dr. Y.S. Tatachari, which is recorded in the Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and it also happened to make its way into the Sanatana Sarathi. In the 1960s, this Dr. Y.S. Tatachari, he was an eminent biophysicist. He had taught in the MIT and Stanford. And he suffered from an aggressively malignant and metastasizing tumor. Not just in one place. It was there in the skull, it was there in the neck, it was there in the ribs, it was there in the hips. Apart from that, you know, he also suffered from rheumatoid arthritis. And he was under tremendous medication, and, you know, the doctors had said that the cancer that he was having had the features of both Ewing's and retialum cell sarcoma. You know, these are all medical terms which
sounds
just
ominous.
Yeah, we just tell you that your days are numbered and it's only a matter of time. And it was in that situation he just thought, let me just go to Swami once and have one darshan. Possibly it might be my last darshan, whatever. That is how he landed up. Actually, he came here in 1965 to Prashanthi Nilayam. In 1964, as this disease progressed, all his pelvic bones got pulverized. They were totally gone. They were in a very bad shape. And so he came here almost like the last resort. And what Swami did during an interview that Swami granted to him was to reduce the medication. Swami said, oh, these are the medicines you take, and he looked at all the prescriptions, just reduced all the medication. And Swami said, yeah, go back. And you know, once he returned, with the reduced medication, he began to improve. Usually you go to a doctor, the doctor gives you medication and you start improving. Here he comes to Swami. Swami reduces his medication. He starts improving. And once again, though he had been given a few months, he lives on for years. 1970, he makes a visit again. During this time, Swami tells him to stop all medication. Swami tells, take vibhuti. That's it. He goes back, fully improves. He has no signs left of these cancer or anything like that. He's back to his day-to-day activities. And he is filled, you know, he's thrilled at this miracle. Like you said, All miracles need not happen instantaneously. It's not as if Swami touches you and your cancer is cured. But when doctors had said that within months or possibly weeks you'll be gone, it's a matter of time. From 1964 to 1970 to have come out of it and then become absolutely normal. I mean, it's a slow miracle, just like creation. It's not as if in 1 second everything came. But so what if it took a million years? It is still a miracle. In the same way, this was a miracle that happened. After that, what's interesting is Swami wrote a letter to him. In that letter, Swami wrote, of course, addressing both him and his wife, Swami said, "Busy yourselves with the duties which are entrusted to you in good spirit and fine health. Sai is ever by your side. He is the charioteer of the vehicle of your life, the ship of life. However heavily loaded with the cargo of joys and sorrows, it can certainly arrive at the harbor of self-realization if it is propelled by holy mental energy. Repetition of the name is the dug, dug, dug of the pistons." Swami writes onomatopoeia there. "Repetition of the name is the dug, 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 dug of the pistons. The steering wheel is love. The anchor is faith. Continue the journey in this confidence." So, I just felt it is so relevant to narrate this incident here, because when Swami says he is a sarathi, he is a charioteer, it doesn't mean he is here only to give you spiritual wisdom. He is here to take you to your ultimate spiritual destination. And in order to assist you in that journey, whatever is necessary, physical health, material well-being, loss of physical health, loss of physical health, loss of material prosperity, loss of whatever that is required will be done. I mean, for the sake of the progress of the soul, the body and mind may get sacrificed at the altar of the soul, but be assured that your soul will be progressing. Soul progress is the soul progress, you know, S-O-U-L-S-O-L-E. So clearly Swami writes there, "I'm there as a charioteer, I'll guide you." So it is very, very clear that when Swami says, "I'm going to be a Sanatana Sarathi," it's not that, okay, he's there as a guru, take care of my spiritual progress. So I can, rest of the things I'll take care, he will take care. No, once he's a Sanatana Sarathi, everything is taken care.
In fact, you know, even as you were saying that, I'm reminded in one of the Samukos discourses, Swami says exactly the same thing. He said, you know, the body is like a cart. And Swami has a huge description. The head, the eyes are like the headlight, and the ears are like the horn, and all of that. Swami would say petrol tank, stomach, and everything. Swami would say, you know, when every car is manufactured, it is manufactured really well. It is, it comes in very good condition, mint condition from the factory. But it all depends on who drives the cart. And Swami says, when you give the car to be driven by multiple people, and more damage will be there. So Swami says you have to find a good person who will drive the cart. I mean, all of this is in line with whatever we are saying. You know, who are you going to follow? As we go through life, we see that. How many people we turn to for advice? When we are youngsters, we depend so much on our peers who are as stupid as us, right, at that age. And similarly, when we grow up, we look at our colleagues, we look at them for advice. And as we grow, we look at the elders. But Swami is saying that, you know, in the whole process, you're letting so many people drive this car that is your body. And that leads to mental as well as physical damage, as we have seen in so many people's life. So in that discourse at the end, Swami says this very beautiful statement. I think we should listen to it in Swami's own voice. So this is Swami telling to the students of the 1973 summer course. At the end of the summer course, Swami is saying that, you know, you all have come to me. You have heard me. Now Swami is making an offer, and we listen to that in Swami's own voice.
You know, interestingly, Prem, I just felt that here in 1971, Swami told Dr. Tatachari that you need not take anything. After that, Swami has written a letter. It might be during the similar period that this theme has come about.
ఈ కాలంలో సరైనటువంటి డ్రైవర్స్, నమ్మకమైనటువంటి డ్రైవర్స్ చిక్కటం చాలా కష్టం కనుక ఈ సమ్మర్ క్లాస్ నుంచి మీరు వెళ్లిపోయేటువంటి సమయం లోపల మీ జీవితం అనేటువంటి కారును డ్రైవ్ చేసుకోవటానికి మంచి ఫెయిత్ఫుల్, అన్ని రిపేర్లు కూడా నువ్వు తెలిసినటువంటి వాడు, అన్ని రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క మెకానిజం తెలిసినటువంటి వాడు ఒక డ్రైవర్ ఉంటున్నాడు. ఇతన్ని మీరు డ్రైవింగ్ కింద తీసుకుని పోండి. తప్పక మీ యొక్క కార్లు కానీ మీ జీవితానికి కానీ ఏ విధమైనటువంటి ఇబ్బందులు లేకుండా తప్పక మీ జీవితం అనేటువంటి ప్రయాణాన్ని సుక్షేమంగా జరుపుకోవచ్చు.
టుడే ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు గెట్ డ్రైవర్స్ ఆన్ హోమ్ యూ కెన్ రిలై అండ్ ఇన్ హోమ్ యూ కెన్ హ్యావ్ ది ట్రస్ట్ టు కీప్ యువర్ కార్ ఇన్ గుడ్ కండిషన్. Therefore, after you return home, after the summer classes, in order to drive the car of your life safely and soundly, there is only one driver on whom you can rely. And that driver is here in me. Take me with you and use me as your driver throughout your life. You will be perfectly safe and sound. He will drive the car of your life on any road without any fear of accident. Halfway, as you travel, even if some bolts and nuts are lost from the car, this driver is such that he will then and there replace the lost bolt and the lost nut.
కనుక మీరు నేర్చుకుని పోవలసినటువంటిది అన్నింటికంటే ప్రధానమైనటువంటిది మీ జీవితానికి. ఆనాడు అర్జునుడు కృష్ణుడిని డ్రైవర్ గా పెట్టుకున్నాడు. ఈనాడు మీ విద్యార్థులంతా కూడాను సాయిని మీరు డ్రైవర్ గా పెట్టుకుంటే తప్పక మీరు ధన్యులైపోతారు, తప్పక మీరు విద్యార్థులైపోతారు.
అర్జున హ్యాడ్ the Lord Krishna as his charioteer. Therefore, today, all of you young students, if only you make the determination to have Sai as your driver in driving the car of your body through your life, then your life would be fulfilled.
Sai anaga sayamu aneetvanti vade sai nirantaramu sayanga untuntadu ee sai.
Sai means one who gives help at all times. He who helps is Sai.
కనుక మీరు ఇది మాత్రం హృదయం లోపల భద్రమ చేసుకుని హృదయపూర్వకమైనటువంటి విశ్వాసంతో మీరు దీనికి అర్పితం చేసి దానిని ఆనందంగా మీరు అనుభవించుకోవటానికి పూనుకోవటం మీరు నేర్చుకోవాల్సినటువంటిది మొదటి విషయం. దీని ద్వారా మీకు అనేక రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క జీవితం లోపల ఐహికంగా ఆముష్మికంగా కైవల్యంగా కూడాను మీ యొక్క జీవితము ఒక పవిత్రమైనటువంటిదే కాకుండా ఒక ఆదర్శవంతమైనటువంటి జీవితంగా కూడాను మీరు అభివృద్ధి కాంచుకోగలరని నేను ఆశిస్తూ నా ప్రసంగాన్ని విరమిస్తున్నాను.
హ్యావ్ దిస్ ఫర్మ్లీ ఇంప్లాంటెడ్ ఇన్ యువర్ మైండ్స్. డెవలప్ సచ్ స్ట్రాంగ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ దట్ ఇట్ విల్ నెవర్ వేవర్. ఇఫ్ యూ డూ దాట్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ ఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు హ్యావ్ ఫెయిత్ అట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్, you will be able to spend your life happily without any troubles. I hope you will be able to do that. This is my expectation of all of you.
How very beautifully Swami says there, and love the way Swami started off by speaking in third person. You know, there is one driver, he's a very good driver, mm-hmm. and is very reliable. And how beautiful Swami says that, you know, there sometimes on the, you know, during the journey, some parts might be have to be replaced, some might go out of order. And Swami says, appudukappudu, he just materializes it then and there and then he fits it in the car. Yeah, really, it, who
it,
else can...
It actually reminds me of an incident that Professor Kasturi has recorded of, I'm forgetting the details, mm-hmm. but of a journey that he had done with Swami from point A to point B, I don't know where to where. He says that as they were driving along, even Raja Reddy was there with them. And as the car goes a certain distance, it starts giving some problem and the driver gets down and I'm sorry, Swami is not there with them physically. So the driver gets down and he goes and he does some repair. And Kasturi says that he plucks out a part and comes and sits and he starts driving. And then after some time again it gives a problem. He goes, gets down, plucks out another part and he comes and he drives. And this happens 4 or 5 times. And Professor Kasturi is wondering, what is this driver doing? One by one, parts are coming out. So, finally, when that car at the destination is taken to the workshop, Professor Kasturi is also there to witness that person saying, sir, where are the passengers of this car? Are they alive and fine? And he says, there is no way this car could have run without even one of those parts. Forget running without all the 5 parts. And that is when Kasturi realizes who has been the actual driver of the car. And the next time when he gets physical access with Bhagwan, Swami tells him that you not only treat me as your guru or I don't know what, but you are also using me as your driver. Okay, so it just reminded me of this incident because that is what it is. Even, you know, once we offer ourselves to Swami, even it might appear as if somebody else is in the driver's seat. But once we have truly surrendered to Swami, it is always Swami who will be in the driver's seat. Just like in this incident, some driver was plucking out the parts and coming, yet nothing happened to the car because Swami was driving it. I say this because many times we think, Swami, I have surrendered to you. I want you to take charge of my life. But why is it that it appears as if there are so many others influencing our life? Why is it that this person is able to control my life so much? Why is it that, you know, possibly one cruel uncle, cruel in-law, or some cruel boss, or whoever, we feel that I have offered my life to Swami, but Swami is not taking charge, somebody else is taking charge. It might appear as if somebody is taking charge, but if we have truly offered to Swami, it is Swami who will charioteer. And as Swami beautifully said here, so reassuring this discourse is, I think we should listen to it again and again, because Swami is saying, I will ensure that you reach the destination safe. Any repairs required on the spot, instantly I will do it. I know everything. Of course, he is saying it in the third person. I know all, I have all the knowledge. You don't worry, you can sit back, relax, and like they say in the aircraft, sit back and relax and enjoy the flight. You can sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey.
You know, just that episode that you read, I mean, it's typically like that. In this journey of life, some parts go out of order. You know, some joint goes out of order, some liver or some other organ goes out of order. And Swami is saying that I can fix it on the way. And I mean, this is, of course, something very serious. I recall another beautiful incident one of my classmates narrated. Very sweet, you know, there is no necessity for Swami to do that, but he just reminds us, you know, when you take him, as Swami said, Sahayante Sahayam Paltunavaru, he was always
there to help you,
but stands by you and help you. It is probably to remind us that some episodes like this Swami plays out in our lives. You know, the student, it was a time when Swami was talking to him every day. Swami would call him for an interview every day. You're almost like you're supposed to be prepared anytime Swami might call you. It was that phase of his student life. So he said that one day he just happened to wake up late and he didn't get ready in time. So he rushed through his morning duties and all that and got ready and came into Swami was in Vrindavan. So he came and stood inside the gate. Mm-hmm. And Swami had called a small gathering of devotees for interview. And Swami looked at him and Swami said, you also come inside. So he went in and he realized that day he had a bad cold. He was having a running nose and in his hurry he had forgotten to bring his handkerchief. So he was sitting there, Swami was sitting and talking to these devotees. And the nose was beginning to, you know, run and it would have become very embarrassing. So he was just looking at Swami, not with the kind of focus that we always speak of as a devotee. But he was waiting when Swami will turn the other side so that he can wipe his nose with his sleeve. Right? With a swift motion so that, you know, it would, at least for the next few minutes, there will be some comfort. So he was going on looking at Swami and Swami just turned for a fraction of a second. And in the swiftest motion that he could possibly do, he wiped his nose with his sleeve. And Swami turned and looked at him. Swami said, "Dumna pota." And then Swami said, "See, this is why I tell, start early, drive slowly, reach safely. You should wake up early, then you will have enough time to get ready. And then you'll have enough time to take a handkerchief and put in your pocket if you wake up early." And, you know, Swami kind of told him exactly what happened in the morning, because of which he had to wipe his nose with his sleeve. And Swami said, "Chee, this is Dunna Pota." And the next second, Swami waved his hand and materialized a pack of handkerchiefs and threw it at his lap. And Swami said, "Keep it and vaduko, use it."
Use it.
You know, I mean, why? What is the necessity for Swami to do something like that? But I think these are reassuring things that as we go through life, we might face any kind of problems. Nothing is beyond Swami's way of, you know, he can replace the parts. If you need replenishment of anything else on the way, he is capable of, devotees don't need our word for that. But I think it's something that we're telling ourselves. He is more than capable of taking care of each one of us who have surrendered to him.
And just for those of us who get a thought that all this is phenomenal, fantastic when Swami was physically there, now what? I would again go back to an incident that has made a deep impact on me in the year 2013 when we had gone to the Himalayas at the Kedarnath temple. It is one of the Char Dham, the four spots that every Hindu must go to. Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Yamunotri. At Kedarnath, the Shivalinga, that is right behind the Kedarnath temple, there was a tent and everybody spoke very reverentially and highly of a Kedar Baba. Mm-hmm. You know, this we had been told even before we went to Kedarnath that when you go there, meet Kedar Baba. Now, that itself led to some interesting fun, because most of the locals there refer to Shiva at Kedarnath, Lord Shiva at Kedarnath, yes, as Kedar Baba. So when we go and ask, where's Kedar Baba? They point to the main temple. I'm like, no, not this Kedar Baba. Kedar Baba who lives behind Kedar Baba. Finally, we managed to locate this person, and it was a group. We were a group of 18 people. And when we went there, you know, in my heart, I was feeling a little reluctant to go to, because this was just 2 years after Swami had left physically, and I didn't want to go and run and fall behind any other guru. Or so I just thought, I'll keep a distance. Yeah, Kedarnath temple is okay, but going to some Kedar Baba, so just stood outside his tent. But something happened that really made me grow in respect to this Kedar Baba. The others in the group gathered around him, and there was a flame going, and he was seated there, and he told everybody to chant Vedam and sing a bhajan, and that was all fine. We did that. After that, one member of the entourage, you know, told this person, Babaji, tell us what we should do. And he said, why I should tell you what you should do? You ask your guru. And then that person said, our guru is Sathya Sai Baba. He said, that's great then. The avatar is your guru, he said. That was when that person said that, but Babaji, I don't know if you know or not, 2 years back, Swami left. You know, that person was trying to educate this Kedar Baba that Swami was not there anymore. And I recall vividly how instantaneously his face changed. He said, Murkh, meaning fool. Kya sharir, kya roop avatar hota hai? He asked, is the form the avatar? And he himself answered, he said, Shabd avatar hota hai. The words are the avatar. And you know, that was the, when he said that, it struck me that Swami's form was possibly temporary, but his words are eternal. And that actually made me step into the tent and sit there also, because I grew in respect for this person. But how magnificent that statement is today, because even to this day, we have complete access to Swami's words. They're available for us for all time. Even now when we listen, it is as true and as exciting as when Swami told it in 1973. When Swami is saying, call me, I will come and guide you. So I think that is also another grand magnificence of the Sanatana Sarathi, because it captures the Lord's words, which is actually the avatar. The avatar is his words. The Bhagavad Gita is the avatar. Krishna is the Bhagavad Gita. Like that only, this is our personalized Bhagavad Gita.
You know, whenever you talk about scriptures, at least in Sanatan Dharma, we always have this categorization. You know, you say Shrutis and Smritis.
Mm.
All the Vedas are supposed to be Shrutis, because they were not, they were Apaurushaya. They were not created by,
they were not composed.
They were not composed by any human mind, but were received by the human mind, which was, stabilized in meditation and deep tapas, they say. And that's why the Vedas, sometimes actually you can't understand. If you take any of these Suktams or Rig Veda, some of the chants which are there, when you translate it into English, it probably does not make any sense. Because if you say that, I mean, when you say that they have come from God, it has come from a time even before even language was there. And we are trying to translate it into a language which came much later. And English and all the other languages are very recent in that sense. But you're talking about something which is beyond time itself. And that is why Vedas, even though sometimes you cannot understand what they are, you cannot adequately translate them, you hold them in a reverence which is above even those, the Puranas and the other works of great saints and
Ramayana,
sages,
Mahabharata,
and all of that. Because we call them Smritis. They have been thought of or written by human minds, right? If you really look at that, every Sanatan Sarathi had a Shruti. Every Sanatan Sarathi had a work which was directly penned by Swami. You know, Swami did not trust that we can sit in meditation and receive the voice. So Swami chose to himself write it down. You know, all the Vedic chants that we have today, they were penned many, many years after, many generations after they were actually received as voice. You know, they were only passed on by means of chanting and listening. It took a long time for them to be consigned to writing, and much, much more later they became print. But here was Swami, the Shruti was being written by the Lord himself, and it was being made into print, and it was being sent. I mean, how beautiful is that opportunity?
Absolutely. In fact, when you look at it, Swami's own words, we realize the importance of Swami's words. It's like it is the Shrutis for us. And in fact, the first ever message in the first ever issue, Swami writes, from this day, our Sanatana Sarathi will lead to victory the cohorts of truth. The Vedas, the Shastras and similar scriptures of all faiths against the forces of the ego such as injustice, falsehood, immorality and cruelty. This is the reason why it has emerged. This Sarathi will fight in order to establish world prosperity. It is bound to sound the pain of triumph when universal Ananda is achieved. So, Swami not only writes the objective, it's almost as if Swami said this is bound to happen also. Because Swami is saying that the sounds of triumph will be announced by Sanatana Sarathi when universal Ananda is achieved. So, like everything has a Phalashruti, the Phalashruti is also given. It is so magnificent, we have this word of God. On that note, dear listeners, we will take a quick little break. Enjoy this musical interlude, on the other side of which we will continue our introduction, our curtain raiser on the Sanatana Sarathi, and possibly also let you know what we will be doing through this serial.
पार्श्व तू है बाबा यश भी तुम्हारे प्राण हमारे शरण सारथी तू बाबा शंख मैं हूँ तुम्हारा चेहरा दिन और
Welcome back, dear listeners. We will continue with our curtain raiser on the Sanatana Sarathi, and I think it's only fair that we come to the point. Well, we got so carried away with the magnificence and wonder of the Sanatana Sarathi. Of late, both of us have been visiting some of the old issues of Sanatana Sarathi. The Sanatana Sarathi, as we said, started on the Shivratri day in 1958, and since then, month after month, so many magnificent things are there. We will go into what are the possible sections that are there in the Sanatana Sarathi. But we just felt so inspired reading the things that are there. You know, not just, of course, there are the Vahinis, which Swami wrote as articles over months and months. And all the Vahinis that we see today are collections of the articles that Swami wrote for the Sanatana Sarathi. Apart from that, we see the details of Swami's tours and travels, because Professor Kasturi was blessed to be alongside Swami. It's so magnificent. Just reading them is so inspiring. You get to see the day-to-day life of the avatar. Apart from that, very amazing miracles and incidents. The speciality of these incidents and miracles are they have been personally vetted by Bhagwan. Because before publishing or printing anything, Professor Kasturi would take them to Swami. And once Swami approves, only they are printed. So, in that sense, you know, these miracles and experiences must hold a special place because they have been personally approved and vetted by Bhagwan. So, all these are there in the Sanatana Sarathi. And both Prem and myself, we thought that it would be a wonderful idea to go through these old editions, starting from the February 1958 edition, the first ever. We will go through them week after week. Enjoy the stories and glories and the Bhagavatam that is contained there. Of course, we thought that we will not be going into the Vahini part now, because the Vahinis, like Prem said, they are the Vedas. It is not possible to simply sit and discuss them. We need to put in a lot of effort, study them, and then therefore that is a separate effort altogether. But leaving aside the Vahini part, which is unfortunately, we are leaving behind the part which Swami himself has penned. But then, we are leaving behind the Shruti part and taking on the Smriti part. The Smriti part, the things that the editor of the Sanatana Sarathi then, that is Professor Kasturi, and later on, it has had illustrious editors, what they have penned. And all these stories and articles that have been, including poems, when I say articles, they are not just about the miracles and experiences. They are also thoughts which are sublime and beautiful. But as I said, the specialty being all of them have been personally approved and vetted by Bhagwan. So we just thought, starting in this serial, every week we will try to go through one or possibly two or maybe half of an edition, you know, the November edition, the December edition, each year wise we will go through. This will help us to also get to know his story. We will get to know history. We will, so many things that both of us have learnt and it got revealed to us. Like we have not seen the Vedas. The Vedas got revealed to the sages. But our own dear Swami's life has got revealed to us as we go through the Sanatana Sarathi, which is available publicly. So we just thought we will share this joy and ananda with everyone. And that is the objective of this serial called the Sanatana Sarathi.
When you talk of when we spoke so much about Swami's own writing, and as you rightly said, we were giving a lot of emphasis on that, rightly so. But we will be leaving that part out, not because that is not important. That's because it's more important than anything else. And most of you must be following other series on the radio where we specifically discuss some of these Vahinis. Now, whenever Swami would speak about the Ramayana and Mahabharata, we had the opportunity to go through Ramakatha Raswaini. One thing that Swami would often say is, what is contained in these stories are actually the essence of Vedanta. But it is said in the form of a story. So if you really look at that way, Sanatana Sarathi was an edition like that. It had Swami's story in it. And right in the middle of that, it also had the essence itself, the Vedantic wisdom itself given in the form of Swami's writing. But the story is no less. The Bhagavatam is no less. I can't help but recollect how Professor Kasturi was himself chosen to write or document some of these stories. And because you know, when you read the Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Satyam Shivam Sundaram is probably a distilled version of Sanatana Sarathi. Mm-hmm. A lot of stories which did not make the cut to be a part of Sanatana Sarathi, we'll find it in... to be a part of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, we'll find it in Sanatana Sarathi because it was a monthly edition and he could put it. If you really look at it, we have gone through the life of Professor Kasturi. He comes to Swami after a huge disaster in his life. He loses a teenage son, a very promising young boy. He dies, I think, in 47, just as India attains independence, because he was also a freedom fighter in his own right. So at that moment he comes, 1948.
In fact, Professor Kasturi writes that India lost her son who could have served her long with great energy and fortitude. Right.
So the husband and wife were devastated, understandably, and that's how they come to Swami in 1948, towards the end of the year, through other events, of course, his daughter's wedding and all of that. But the first thing that Swami tells him, when he looks at him, Swami tells, "I will let you write my Jivana Charita." He says, see, Swami doesn't need anybody to document his life. Swami doesn't need anybody to speak about him, neither you, me, or anybody else for that matter. But Professor Kasturi, who was carrying that grief, he needed that, you know, that ability, that choice, I mean, that opportunity to recollect Swami's stories, Bhagavatam, was a balm for his pain that he was suffering. And we know how Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam itself was written. And Swami would often relate that story of Vyasa feeling a sense of restlessness within, even after writing compiling all the Upanishads and writing the Mahabharata and the Ramayana and everything. Mahabharata and the Puranas and all of that. He feels that there's, you know, he doesn't find peace in life. And that is when he is directed to write Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of giving peace to him, not as a means of spreading the story of the Lord. So every story of Swami has the ability to give peace to us, to give solace to us, to give calmness, and to, you know, there is nobody in this world who does not have pain and grief in their life. So all of us definitely need this medicine of the Bhagavatam. And that's why even if we are going to leave out the Vahini part of the Sanatana Sarathi, each story, each of these precious, I mean, there are little things, there's some announcements which are there that, you know, Swami has announced that he's traveling to these places and devotees need to be informed about it. There are announcements about festivals that are happening. All of these, I think every tidbit of that is going to be equally precious. And dear listeners, we're going to join all of you in this journey of exploring month by month, as Arvind said, what is contained in these precious pages.
One more idea that came up, Prem, is, you see, I practice it personally in my life. Whether it's from you or from anybody, if I happen to hear a new incident of Swami, when I say new incident, it's new for me because I have not heard it before. The minute I hear it, the next 10 people I meet, I'm going to share it with them, you know, because one is I enjoy doing it. The second thing is more like a professional greed, because I wanted to get into my repertoire of Swami's incidents, which I can use in different talks or different places. But as I said, that's only secondary. There is so much joy in reliving it. And when you relive that, sometimes you forget a little details. That makes you revisit the incident and get all the details right. Because, you know, they say the devil is in the details. But for us, God is in the details. Those little details, you know, make so much of beauty. For example, the famous incident of Swami expressing his gratitude to a buffalo in Horsley Hills. I had always known it. But when you heard Professor Kasturi narrating it, and when you told me that actually Swami went to the buffalo and said, "Poi vastan ra dunapota," you know, that made it so sweet, because that is possibly the way Swami would have told me goodbye. Because he would call students as dunapota, poi vastan ra dunapota. Means it brought in another angle wherein Swami is not distinguishing genuinely between that dunapota and this dunapota. You know, so therefore it is God in the details. And therefore I just feel that, you know, this opportunity we are getting, first of all, both of us, we are getting this great opportunity to share these stories. I just feel as listeners also, whenever we listen, let us not selfishly keep it to ourselves. Let us go and share it, because there might be so many who have missed Sanatan Sarathi. There will be so many who will miss this afternoon satsang as well. But we should use our Shravanam to enhance our Kirtanam. And in fact, you know, one beautiful episode, so Professor Kasturi documents it in his book, which shows what a great privilege it is to do this. You know, it happens just within 1 year of Sanatan Sarathi being launched in the year 1959. Somebody comes to Professor Kasturi and says, "Swami is calling you." And Professor Kasturi leaves whatever he's doing, because that's how you reply to the Lord's call. And he rushes up 18 steps. He climbs and goes up. And Swami says, "What? You're like this. Get ready." And Professor Kasturi doesn't understand what Swami is saying. Swami says, "You know, such and such a magazine, or I mean a newspaper editor from Hyderabad, he wants to write an article about you as the editor of Sanatan Sarathi. So he wants a material and a wonderful photograph. And I have decided to take your photograph with this special camera that has come now." And Swami shows him a new camera that he has got. And Professor Kasturi, as he writes, he says, "I am on the cloud 8. I'm in the 8th heaven, not the 7th heaven. Swami says, "Get ready and come." And Professor Kasturi writes that he rushes down those 18 steps and goes and, you know, shines up his face, brightens it, wears a starched dress, comes.
Plastered and starched myself, he says.
And he comes in front of Swami, and Swami says, "Okay, ready." And he says that a toothless grin came on my face, because he's feeling so proud and so happy that, you know, such a...
From behind the camera, Swami says, "Cut that grin." Just like how any photographer would say.
And also he says, Swami comes and aligns his shoulders and says, "Okay, stand like this." And then when he has to click, when he clicks, he says that suddenly there's a rat that comes and falls on his face, and he's so scared that he falls back on the couch that is behind. And that is when he realized that it's just a play toy mouse in made out of rags. And Swami is laughing his heart out. And then Swami says, "Oh, I just was checking what it is. You don't, you fell for it. You want your name to come in papers." And then Professor Kasturi said that Swami advises him, "Don't go for this. Don't go for this glory. Don't go for that. Today's newspaper is tomorrow's waste paper." And then Swami tells him, "You are getting the opportunity to present Swami's message and life to devotees who are eagerly waiting to receive it. What greater sanctification of your life do you need? What greater achievement in your life do you need?" And Professor Kasturi says that this is a great lesson that I learnt. And reading that, I just felt so humbled, and I feel this is a great lesson to learn for all of us. See, sometimes we feel that I would like to do seva, I don't have the money to do seva, I don't have the energy to do seva, this is lockdown time, I can't go out and do seva. We don't realize that it's a great opportunity in seva even to just share these incidents, the Sai Bhagavatam. So that's why I just felt that as listeners, we may feel that I have not even read, I don't have access. You don't have access. But when you get to know a story, I think we should make it our personal goal that when I listen to a new story, I'm going to tell it to 10 others at least.
Very true. In fact, you know, the other beautiful thing about Professor Kasturi having this opportunity to document all of these things is another episode we might have narrated before, which was shared by Professor Kasturi's daughter, Padma Aunty, who is still in the ashram here with us. know, she was narrating that it so happened he was in Swami's presence once, and Swami went into a trance. It's a thing that would happen quite often. And they were sitting around Swami, they were waiting for Swami to come back. And once Swami came back, Swami began telling about how he had gone to, I think, Bombay. There was some devotee who was not feeling well, and Swami went there and appeared in the hospital room or room in the house or something like that. And Swami gave the entire description. And very sheepishly, Professor Kasturi asked Swami, "Swami, would you mind if I note this down?" He said, "Ah, telsale, you later want to find out whether all these things are, you know, correct." Swami said, "Note down, note down." So he made a note of all that Swami said, which place and the name of the devotee and everything, and kept it aside. A couple of weeks later, Swami calls Professor Kasturi to his presence, and Swami hands him a letter. And Swami says, "Read this letter." So he reads it. It is a gratitude letter from that devotee whom Swami had visited in his trance a few weeks before. And all the details were there in that. You know, this is what Swami said, and Swami appeared here, and Swami cured this person, and everything. Needless to say, perfectly matching with the description that Swami had given a few weeks later. For those of us who have heard stories of Swami, this is another beautiful story, you know, not really something that is so glorious that it kind of defines Swami or anything like that.
Far
more fantastic things, like a story that you read out or so many like that. After this episode, Professor Kasturi comes back home and he seems to be in a trance. He seems to be in a reverie and he's going on saying, "Anandam, Anandam, Anandam, Paramanandam, Brahmanandam." Everybody is wondering what happened. At his home, his mother is very concerned. His wife is very concerned. They're asking him what happened. And he looks at them and he says, "Do you know? Do you realize that we are living with Bhagwan? We are living with God himself." They said, "That's why we have left everything and come here." You know, they were not able to get the idea of it. He said, "We don't realize. Anandam, Paramanandam." And he was like in that state for a few hours. And in the evening darshan, Professor Kasturi's mother goes and, you know, catches Swami and says, "Swami, what have you done? You know, my son is like this." And Swami tells, you know, "When you come face to face with truth, that is what will happen to your mind. Your mind will become unsettled for some time." Swami says, "Don't worry, he'll be fine after a while." See, these are the kind of episodes that Professor Kasturi has documented in Sanatan Sarthi, and many devotees have written. So these are actually windows to the truth of who Swami is. And that is why these are not ordinary episodes. And as you rightly said, that Shravanam should lead to Kirtanam and that Kirtanam should lead to Smaranam. And that is the whole blessing that Swami gives, that endlessly, that's why, dear listeners, we can't thank you enough for this opportunity of recollecting Swami's stories, recollecting Swami's literature, because this is the greatest opportunity that Swami has given us. You know, as you were narrating that episode of Professor Kasturi, I mean, it's a lesson for all of us. The greatest gift that Swami can give us has already been given to us, even as we are speaking here about Swami and thinking about Swami. The name, the fame, the accolade, the appreciation, everything pales in glory, you know, in front of what Swami is already giving at this very moment when we're thinking about Swami.
In fact, just adding to the sentiment that you have expressed, I would just like to read out what was written in a Sanatan Sarthi regarding people wanting to contribute their own experiences. So it was written, "Contribution of articles, especially from those and of those who endeavor to put into practice what they speak and write out on spirituality are welcome. Anything that smacks of public news or comments on public news or personal attacks, rude phraseology or even non-devotional sentiments can find no place in these." So, you know, it's so clear. It gives an idea of how clean an instrument we have to be even while sharing Swami's experience. Taking the reverse, it means that When we are desirous of sharing Swami's incidents in a manner that Swami likes, we need to do all this. So in that sense, this kind of listening to Swami's incidents and wanting to share it with others will also help in our own spiritual growth, because we'll need to become clean vessels and there should be no objective of getting glory, personal aggrandizement. It also helps us to notice wherever these things are there, that is possibly not a true Bhagavatam that is going on, where there is the objective of gaining wealth or gaining glory or gaining personal status, then that is not a true satsang possibly. It gives us so much clarity, and the purest possible satsang, therefore, we thought, dear listeners, would be the Sanatana Sarathi, because I remember one incident. I won't go into the details of that incident. Basically, what had happened is, a family friend whom I know, Brother Amai, his father had shared that in 1983, that is just 1 year after I was born, we are all very tiny, they had an experience where a non-devotee, I'm not sharing it now because possibly it will come in our session, a non-devotee saw Swami come at her door in Bahrain. She had gone to visit her son-in-law who is a devotee, and this son-in-law had to go out of the house. So this mother-in-law with the grandchild, only these two were at home, and Swami came at the door, created vibhuti and put on her forehead and left. And she was not a devotee of Swami. In fact, she didn't like to become devoted to Swami also, because she was a staunch Vaishnavite. She believes in Lord Vishnu, so therefore, since Swami is a Shiva avatar, she wants to have to do nothing with him. Okay, so when the son-in-law came back home, he saw the mother there sitting in a kind of a shock with vibhuti on her forehead. He said, "What happened?" And she said, "Swami had come here." He said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yes, he came and put this vibhuti." He said, "Are you sure you're not hallucinating? Because there was a big photograph of Swami. Maybe you saw this so much." And especially, we find it difficult to accept that Swami will appear to a non-devotee, but we have not had darshan. We are the devotees who have not got. How can your non-devotee get up? And the funny thing is that lady, that mother-in-law tells, "You know how much I am for Vishnu. Even if I put vibhuti, do you think I'll put it horizontally like the Shaivites? I will put it vertically like the Vaishnavites." But still, there were a lot of people who thought that this was possibly a hallucination. But then there was an elder who told that you should write this and send it to Professor Kasturi, because Sanatana Sarathi accepts articles. And they had sent it here. And Amai's father, he was telling me that in April 1983, he had come to Prashantinilayam, and it was part of their routine to go and pay their respects to Professor Kasturi. And when Professor Kasturi got to know that he's coming from Bahrain, he told him, "Oh, do you know, you're from Bahrain. We have received a wonderful miracle that has happened in Bahrain." And this uncle, he was so thrilled. He said, "Oh yeah, it happened to my friend only, I know." And he was telling all this. And he said, "Is it going to come in Sanatana Sarathi?" He said, "That is left to Bhagwan. We have to ask Bhagwan." And that year, in the June 1983 edition of Sanatana Sarathi, there's an article called Baba in Bahrain. And Amai's father was telling me that when it came in Sanatana Sarathi, this is a real miracle. They believed, That is the kind of authenticity and veracity and stamp of approval from Bhagwan that the Sanatana Sarathi carries. And that's why, dear listeners, when we go through the incidents mentioned in Sanatana Sarathi, I think these are incidents we can etch in our hearts, because these can be quoted as they have been personally stamped and verified by Bhagwan himself.
And even as we are going through this, another beautiful episode, and recall, maybe we'll conclude with that. Again, documented by Professor Kasturi in Loving God. As I was telling, the very first interaction that Swami had with him, Swami said, "I'll let you come and write my Jivana Charita, my life history." But it took a very long time before the first book could come out. And somehow that was never in Swami's mind. Swami gave him the opportunity and Swami promised him that he would do that. But Swami was not so keen on that at all. So added to that, a lot of people would come and ask him that, is there any book on Swami that we can read? Do you have anything, any material? So he was saying that one day he was standing outside the press. The press was, I think, where East Prashanti, the end of East Prashanti is today. It was in, viewing distance from Swami's, in line with Swami's mandir. So he was outside the press. He was probably reading through one of the articles which had just been printed, when a devotee walked up to him and he said, "Sir, do you have any books on Swami that I can read?" And that was like every time somebody would ask him, he would say that, "I've made my notes, I'm ready to write. Swami is not giving me, the time to print those books." So he said, "No, there is no book on Swami." And he had to take that article which he was reading to Swami, right? So he kind of took leave of that gentleman and he walked towards Swami's mandir. And he came to Swami's mandir and the first thing Swami asked was, who are you talking to there? So this is Swami would have seen directly from there. So who are you talking to there? He said, no, Swami, just a devotee. He was asking for something. I was just replying. What did he ask? He said, Swami, he asked whether there is a book on Swami. And Swami asked, what did you say? He said, no, Swami. I told him, no, there is nothing as yet. And Swami said, wrong answer. And then Swami said, you should have told him that Swami cannot be understood through books.
Hmm.
Right? And, you know, this was how Swami was preparing him to write a book on Swami. That no book, I mean, any number of books will not be sufficient to describe Swami. But everything, every story of Swami and every word that Swami has written himself or written on him is a way by which you can taste a little bit of that, you know, Swami. And I think that is the journey that we hope to begin with this Sanatan Sarthi series. And we can't tell you how excited we are. There's so much to explore. It's going to be an ocean.
Yes, dear listeners, and we would like to conclude with prayers to the Sanatana Sarathi to guide us on this journey as well as he is guiding us on the journey of our life. So, we will meet you again next week, and as per our plan now, every 2 weeks we will do the Sanatana Sarathi, followed by a fortnight of conversations with Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So, this is how we will be alternating. So, see you again same time next week. We'll leave you with this song, on the other side of which you'll be greeted by Brother Chandu with his segment, Love to Love.
Ah, 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 ah. listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.